You know, there's going to be times that you and I are going to be disoriented. I don't know what my parents are saying. I don't know where they're going. They're crazy. I don't want to talk to God. I can't hear them anyway. I don't want to go to church. It doesn't help. You'll be in a fog. And you will make life errors in your heart when God seems silent, if what He said, He is not still saying.
Welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. You know, most of the time, God's voice is very clear. His words are concise. His directions are unmistakable. But there are moments when God is quiet. We can't hear Him speak. Is He ignoring us? Or could it be that it is at those times that He is speaking to us in another way? Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, When God is Silent.
But if you say, well, I don't have time to go to all of these, then if your faith is still very new and you snip off all of those activities, it may be fine if there's no storms. But mark my words, it won't be long before there's going to be a storm in your marriage, your family, your finances, your job, relationships, and you'll be upended. But you say, well, when do these ever get snipped on the outside? Well, they might. But make sure that when, here it is, when you snip an external guy wire, an instructive wire, one of these systems of accountability, that simultaneously, instantaneously, there's one that you put on the inside. That there's a self-correcting, self-evaluating system. Snip on the inside, there's a strength, and the roots start going down. Because the storms will hit, and you better be strong before they do. So that you start putting stuff on the inside. And when that happens, you take the instructions, watch this, that God has given, and you put it on the inside, they become principles by which I live. No, not just philosophies, principles. And I'm actually transformed by the principles of God. You know why it's so important? If you just have these instructions, so I know what God says, I know what the scripture says, and I know what the church says, I know, but it's just, that's a Christian philosophy. If it's just in your head, you will be vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Ultimately, we will reproduce what we are. And that's called a conviction. When that which is a principle that God's instructed to us about our marriage, our attitude, the way we think, our morality or immorality, how we look at drugs or how we look at this or that, the dishonesty with which we've been living, how to cut that out and get honest and clean. No, not as a philosophy and a mental discipline, but as a transforming lifestyle. When those instructions click on the outside, become principles on the inside, that's when you get transformed. And then it becomes a conviction by which I live. No, it's not a Christian thing that I do. It's just who I am. And it's very normal and natural. And then I reproduce what I am. If it's not there yet and it's only in your head, you'll teach what you know. But ultimately, you're going to reproduce what you are. And the next generation will be just like that. That's why it's so important to make sure that what God is teaching us goes from the outside to the inside. Let's take a look at Psalm 95, what happened to the children of Israel. And you can see this inconsistency. Let's read it. Go. Do not harden your hearts as in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said they are a people who err in their heart. Why? Because they do not know my ways. You see, we've got to be able to make sure, because there's going to be times that you're going to be disoriented. And what God said, He must still be saying. What He did, He will still be doing. Otherwise, you'll hear this stuff in church, and then you'll come over into this season, and you go, oh, I know I'm married, but oh, she's so pretty, and she likes me. Lord, are you telling me to leave her and go after her? Oh, Lord, speak to me. You'll hear him real silent. It's like, grow up. Lord, I know this iPod isn't mine and it's on my fellow employee's desk and he's not here. It's probably not even his. It's probably mine. You gave this to me, huh, Lord? And I'll make sure I put Christian music on it. Thank you. All right. Is it from you, Lord? You can hear him just real quiet. It's like, what? These things should have, elementary principles should be so in you that you're not even swayed by that anymore. Just had a pastor friend of mine that I've been working with, been in the ministry 15 years, a sad epitaph, sad tale. But as I was talking with him, he just said, yeah, I decided we're going to divorce my wife, leave the ministry. Because he said, because my season here is up. I thought, you dummy. What do you mean your season is up? So now it's a season of obedience. Now it's a season of disobedience. And I thought, way back here, did you not take the instructions of God and make them convictions? If you don't, you're going to struggle with the same things over here that you struggled with back there. So you've gotten 15 years as a Christian, but you haven't matured at all. Why? Because the stuff that came here did not come down to hearts. And that's what happened with the children in the wilderness. So we're always saying, well, God, what do you think? Give me a current revelation. The Lord is saying, no, what about the standing revelation? What was current here becomes standing or a conviction or becomes a principle. So would you write in number two, how do we get through this season? Make sure that we're hearing God. Would you write number two, know and heed or obey, know and heed God's standing revelation. Watch how God speaks to Solomon, a brand new king. Now, God revealed himself consistently to David in miraculous ways. But if you look at the life of Solomon, there's a few miracles, but nowhere near as many as with David, or near as many with the children as with the children in the wilderness or in the desert. It seems like it's less and less and less. You know why? Because over here, they didn't know all of the laws of Moses. They were still being written. But pretty soon, the things of God were written down and were to become principles by which we live. Let's watch now. Let's read together and see how he says this to Solomon. Go. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, according to what is written in the law of Moses. Why? That you may succeed in all you do and wherever you... You see, in the old times, they say, God, if you're with us and you show us miracles, we'll succeed wherever we turn. Now we come to Solomon. You know what God says? Solomon, if you'll obey what was written, I'll still do the very same result. I'll give you the same result. I'll make you successful in all that you do and wherever you turn. Over here, it had to be the Shekinah glory and the miracles. Over here, what I said, I am still saying. See, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, who he was is still who he is. And what he said, he is still. And what he did, he is still. And he said to Solomon, if you will obey what was written, I will give you the same results that they had with the Shekinah glory. Everywhere you turn, you'll succeed. Every place you go, you will win, and you'll be a victor. You see, this kind of faith is some of the greatest qualities of faith you'll ever find. We find it in the New Testament with a centurion. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my servant is lying sick. Will you come and heal him? And the Lord just without hesitation said, I'll come. And then the centurion said, oh, wait a minute. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You know what? Just say the word. My servant will be healed. Because I too am a man under authority. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. And Jesus stopped and he said, whoa. It's my translation. He said, whoa. I have not seen this kind of faith, not this great of faith, no, not in all of Israel. You know what he's saying? The kind of faith that takes me based on my word, what I said, I still say. That kind of faith that doesn't require a current revelation, but instead, what I've already said is revelation enough. That kind of faith is the highest grade of faith. He says, I have not seen this kind of faith, not even in all Israel. Because you see, they all want miracles all the time. But you are saying, what I've done, I am still doing. That's good enough. And a miracle's about to take place. And you go on that. And the Lord said, this is the greatest faith in Israel. You got it. Because what I've said, I am still saying. And it becomes a part of your life. So would you write down in the next bullet there, not only know and heed God's standing revelation, but make it principles by which you live. So they become principles. You see, when those guy wires get cut and they go on the inside, those principles become that which sets our inner compass. I know. And even when I'm disoriented and I can't see, I can fly by instruments. You see, in pilot language, in the parlance of those that are aviators, if you're a private pilot with a private pilot's license, you fly by sight. Everything has to be clean, clear day. All the conditions have to be just perfect. Then you can fly. But if you graduate beyond that, you graduate to what they call instrument-rated pilots. When the conditions are not ideal and you can't see your way, you can actually fly by what you know, not by what you see at that moment. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, there's going to be times when you're going to be a bit disoriented. You won't be able to see everything so clearly. But if you understand this kind of faith, what I said, I am still saying. Did you take that, put it in your heart so it becomes convictions, storing away for a time of famine from which you will partake and stay healthy? If you understand that kind of faith, not that I have stopped speaking. There'll be seasons where you just won't be able to listen that well due to setbacks, financial setbacks, problems in your home, whatever it might be. There's going to be seasons. Does that mean we just bail out of God and just get mad at God because he's not speaking? No. I understand that I sometimes go through these valleys and emotional despairs or depressions or whatever it might be. Does that mean God's not speaking? He is, but I probably am not hearing. So do I just bail out and become shipwrecked? No, I keep navigating. How? By what I see? Mm-mm. By what I know. And when you do, the Lord says, I have not seen that great a faith. No, not in all of Israel. Mark my words. There will be times you'll be disoriented because of a marriage situation, because of a job situation. That's just how it is. Oh, I wish I could tell you, after 30 years of walking with the Lord, that I always hear him clearly. I don't. There are times I can't. But if I can store up his word and their convictions and principles, I can fly by instruments and I can navigate cleanly and clearly till I get my ears back again and I can see things. Those seasons will mark your life and make you successful or not by how you navigate when you can't see the runways. So they become principles by which we live. Now let me tell you how you get confidence to do that. Would you write in number 3, during these seasons where you're a little disoriented, would you write down, get to know the ways of God. Get to know the ways of God. That you have flown with him so much, as it were. You know what he would do. You know what he would say. Because I know him. I know his ways. Now remember what the scripture says. Let's read Psalm 95:10. Go. For 40 years I loathed that generation. And said they are a people who err in their heart. Why? Because they do not know my... What a horrible sounding word. That word loathed. You know what that means? When you think about something, it makes you nauseated. When you just think about something, it makes you sick. And the Bible says, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. You think, that's a long time to get sick over somebody. I thought, Lord, what is it that makes you feel that way? It's a group of people who would never let what I taught them sink and become principles by which they live. Though they had seen my works, they kept erring in their hearts. Erring in their hearts. Why? Because they didn't know my way. They didn't take time to know my ways. And therefore, they violated everything about my ways at every turn. You know, my dad left Hawaii some 20 years prior. He'd lived in Oregon 20, 25 years. And after he had retired and went to Oregon to live and bought some property. And even though a quarter of a century had passed, he's still so local, he still spoke pidgin English. He's real Portuguese and still wore rubber boots and a shirt over his belly. And he grew up, right? He graduated from this school, was raised right there at Cam Housing. But after 25 years, he still had the local ways. So this is the ways of my dad. When you go to my dad's house, you still, after him living in the mainland 25 years, you still take off your shoes before you go in his house. And when you go in his house, you don't put your feet on the coffee table. And before you leave, you have to eat. You gotta eat. You don't leave his house until you eat. And when you eat, you clean your plates. And because he was a photographer, he has photographs all over the walls. You have to talk about the photographs, and he just loves you then. And see, when other people would come in and they just kind of walk in, because mainland style and tracks of mud, he won't say anything. But when they leave, my dad will shake his head and go, "Oh, those people, I don't know about them." Because they violated his ways. Well, I as his son know his ways, so I don't violate any of those. And when I come over, even after I'd gone to Bible college and lived away from him, I'd come and do the same thing. I'd make sure I eat. And then I'd talk about the photograph. "Dad, tell me about this one again." "Oh, let me tell you about this one." Oh, we were buddies, you see. And my dad would give things. He'd just give the farm away. Just give anything. I knew that. So I said, "Dad, nice your car." And you know, it's almost the same with the Lord. When you know the ways of God, you don't violate things. "Well, he didn't tell me." He doesn't need to. You just need to know him. When you know him, you don't violate any of those. How does that happen? Would you write down in the bullet there? Through a genuine relationship. Through a genuine relationship with God. No, not a contrived one, not a religious one. As sons and daughters of the King. Then these things that were instructions become philosophies? No, convictions by which I live. And I reproduce what I am. And I understand the ways of God. And I've stocked his word in my heart so that which he said in times of disorientation, he is still saying. And what he instructed, he is still instructing. And the Holy Spirit brings that to remembrance. And even though I can't see, I can still navigate. Because I'm flying by not what I see, but by what I know. And then I'll come through that season, and I will not have shipwrecked. I will not have crashed. Because I know my God. I know what he said, he's still saying. When I come through, I can almost hear the Lord say, "I have not seen this great of faith for a long time." And that's my prayer for us. Because there will be seasons where God seems silent. Let me tell you a story of an acrobatic pilot in one of these prop planes that before it was really modernized. And they had instruments, of course, and so he was doing some acrobatics. And then as he came back to land in the airstrip, a fog had rolled in. And he had to get back because he was low on fuel. But low-lying clouds had come in and pummeled the area so that it was just like a steam bath, couldn't see anything. And the fog had settled in on the runway. But there's something that happens when you're doing acrobatics. You can suffer from something called vertigo. Vertigo is a condition when you're disoriented and you don't know which way is up or down. And it feels like you're up, but you're down. Or you think you're down, you're going up. You can experience that at Sandy's Beach or Makaha or North Shore when you get pummeled by the waves and then you get thrashed and then you're starting to come out. You have no idea which way is up. And people drown. Because they're completely disoriented. They have no idea where they are in this topsy-turvy foam and water. Well, the same thing happens up in the air. And this pilot was disoriented. And he's coming back and he's radioing into his tower saying, "I'm flying in, but my instruments are wrong. It says my plane is disoriented and it's upside down, but I'm fine." and a tower called back. Your instruments have just been recalibrated. Trust your instruments. He said, I can't. I'm fine. I'm coming in, and the thing says I'm upside down. And the tower said, you are suffering from a condition called vertigo. Flip your plane and trust your instruments. You're coming in. He said, no way. I'm fine. And the tower said, you trust your instruments. Now flip your plane and get your instruments flying right so that you're according to what your instruments say. The story is told that that pilot flipped his plane, and when he did, his tires touched the runway. You know, there's going to be times that you and I are going to be disoriented. You don't know if you're a student. I don't know what my parents are saying. I don't know where they're going. They're crazy. I don't want to talk to God. I can't hear them anyway. I don't want to go to church. It doesn't help. You'll be in a fog, and you will make life errors in your heart when God seems silent, if what he said, he is not still saying. Take those things, make them as convictions by which you live. No, not just Christian disciplines. No, it's who I am. When it sinks from my head to my heart, I am transformed. And I live the convictions of God, not because I have to, but because that's just who I am. That's the way I live. I have no problem with it. It's natural. What happened? I've been transformed by his word, and I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Is it hard? No. It's easy. It's natural, because he's changed my heart. And then when the word is stocked in me and principles and convictions have come from that which was once just reproofs and advice and counsel, but I've stocked it during these times, in times of famine when God seems silent, I've got plenty of food. And I navigate that well. And I fly by what I know, not how I see. And when I come through, I'll still be on course, even though it was a season when I was disoriented. And God looks at that and says, you know, I've not seen this kind of faith in a long time. When God seems silent, you can still navigate. He is still there. Make sure there are principles in your heart, and he'll be amazed at your faith. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the doxology and then a final chorus. But let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so very much for helping us to be a people who understand the ways of God. That what you said, you're still saying. What you taught us, you're still teaching us. And when we understand that, we can sometimes, because we need to, fly by instruments when the fog rolls in. And we can still navigate without shipwrecking our faith. So, Father, I thank you for your principles, your word, which is living and active. Thank you for a mighty church, great in faith and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank him with a clap offering? Go ahead.
Oh my God. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Give someone a hug on your way out.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, When God is Silent, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.